my technology set up. The one thing that's been thinking about and talking about, it's been a whole lot of talk about, and is about service, serving one another. You know, in our individualistic society, it is easy to lose sight of the fact that Christians are bonded together in a relationship of unity as members of one another. In Romans 12 and 5, you don't have to go there yet. Romans 12 and 5, it says, "So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one body, of one another. So important is this relationship that our horizontal fellowship with the family of God even influences our vertical relationship with the Father. Today I'm going to talk about the benefits, blessings, and the power of living service to one another." You may turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 5. See, Jesus' disciples, they were arguing one day. And the thing that they were arguing about is, who would be the greatest in the kingdom? Who would be the number one honcho? Who would be the number one man in the kingdom? See, and Jesus had to explain it to them this way. He explained it, though. He explained it in Mark chapter 10. He says that the greatest among you will be your servant. The greatest in God's kingdom comes through servanthood, not being a celebrity. We are going to take a look today at serving one another. Serving one another. Because the thing that would mark that we really understand who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do would be our servanthood, not us being the most popular. In Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 13, it says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Question is, what is serving? What does it mean? Service or servanthood is the willingness to humble oneself and act for the betterment of another in the name of Jesus Christ. Servanthood is to humble oneself and act for the benefit of someone other than yourself in the name of Jesus. It is an attitude followed by an action that wants to better or facilitate the improvement of the condition of another. You become a servant when you are able to come alongside and assist somebody outside of yourself in some area where that assistance will improve them spiritually or improve them circumstantially. But you want to better their situation to whatever degree you can. That is servanthood. It is this attitude that wants to help somebody else get further than they are right now because of the assistance you provided in some area. Jesus Christ wants to look really good. Y'all know how, if we do what we're supposed to do, Jesus looks good. So Jesus wants to look really good. And what makes him look good are the servants who come alongside, is the embellishment, and embellish it for others and see. That is servanthood. He wants us to shine our light before your brothers and your sisters. Serve them as he had called you to do. That makes him look good. And if you were called to Christ, as we hope we all have been, because you have accepted him as your personal Savior, he is your sin bearer, then you were called to serve. God has called you to the family of God. He has called you to be a servant. Now, you cannot serve everybody, but I can't serve everyone because we are living in this humanity, this type of life that we live in. But one thing you can bless assured, you can always serve someone. Because if you If everyone is a servant, everybody gets served, including the servant. He says, I want you to serve one another. Look at it this way. We all have appliances at home, in your home, and in your kitchen. And your appliances really are your servants. The refrigerator would ask, what do you want to eat? Not what do you want me to freeze? The question of the stove is, what do you want me to cook? Not what do you want me to make hot? Your appliances are your servants. They are there to facilitate your hunger. So it is that every Christian has been called into the family of God to be a facilitator for the benefit of another, and in so doing will fulfill your very purpose for being, because every believer has been saved to serve. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and what not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And verse 9, not as a result of works, so that on one may boast. But then in Ephesians chapter 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Now, he has created opportunities to serve, and he has called that a good work. But the question is, why has serving become so difficult to so many, or even most Christians? Why most Christians are only concerned about being blessed and not that concerned about blessing or being a blessing? Why is it only concerned the three, me, myself, and I? What is it that limits service so that kingdom work doesn't get done? People are not assisted, people are not cared for, or people are not valued. What is it that limits the servant's spirit that should mark kingdom people? The answer is also found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, which we read earlier. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. In order to be a fired up servant, you will have to know freedom. He connects freedom to a willingness to serve. In other words, if you don't know freedom, you may not be willing to serve. Or if you have gotten so used to freedom, you might forget to serve. Maybe that is why Jesus is having trouble finding servants. We have forgotten what it has been like to be made free. We have service men and women, those who are in the armed forces, and their task is to serve, like mine was when I was in the army, called to serve, to protect our freedom from the enemy. Men and women who were called to protect and preserve our freedom. And you may ask why? Because freedom is is a terrible thing to lose. When you're not free, it's a terrible thing to lose. Paul is writing to people who have lost sight of freedom. Now, let's go back to, Galatians 5. Let's go back up to verse 1. And I'm reading from the New American Standard. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm, and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. He says, Christ set you free. He says that Christ set me free to be free. Christ did not set you free to be in bondage. On the cross, Jesus Christ posted bail for you. The price was paid in full, and you to get out of jail. On the cross, he got you out of an eternal jail, hell. But that was not the only thing jail he got us out of. On the cross, Jesus Christ got us out of everything that holds us illegitimately hostage. I don't know what jail you may be in today, but Jesus didn't post bail for you to stay incarcerated. Whatever that thing is that is illegitimately handcuffing you in your mind, in your spirit, in your body, in your emotions, in your actions, or in your circumstances, it is holding. If it's holding you hostage, Jesus says, I set you free so you can be free. I did not set you free so that you can have a comfortable jail cell or a pretty jail cell. So the reason why more folk can't serve or won't serve is because they are still in jail. He says that it is for freedom that I set you free. So if you are not serving, maybe you don't know that you are free. So he even goes a little bit deeper than that in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. He says, you have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Now, you understand that freedom is based on grace, not law. In the Old Testament, you have to perform to be blessed. Under grace, in Ephesians 1 and 3, it says, I have already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Under grace, everything that God is ever going to do, he has already done. You don't get God's blessing by performance. Under grace, the reason you do what you do is because you recognize your bail has been posted and you're now free. Under law, you're trying to get God to post bail. Under law, you say, God, look at me. Look at what I have done. Now do something for me because of what I have done for you. Under grace, God says, I have done for you because I'm looking at what Jesus has already done. Jesus posted bail, so now I serve because I am so thankful. I'm so grateful because I am no longer in jail. I don't know about you, but if in some parts of in a war conflict in Vietnam, we were restricted. We couldn't go anywhere. You're not free to even go outside, especially if it's a nice, beautiful, starry night. And it's hot, always warm in Vietnam. But you would never, that's the time that you will not go outside because that's the time when you normally plan to get hit. You just don't know. And it was just like being in bondage. We were around this little cage, 150 by 150, had a gun on each corner, and rounds would come in, and most of them would hit inside the compound. If you ever been that next day, the next time we were supposed to move out from that compound, it felt so good. You don't know what it means. It's like a jail. You're fenced in this little small area. You're being hit every night, and all of a sudden, it's time for us to move to another location. I said, whew, we made it that way. I felt so good. If you have decided to be a servant, that is your ticket out of jail because you have been set free. And instead of asking God to free you, you should thank him that you are free and begin serving him. Then you will experience the freedom that he has already given you, that he's already purchased for you on the cross. He says, I want you to understand that it was for freedom that Jesus Christ set you free. And can you believe we can get all of this from just being a servant of the Lord? See how deep it goes? But believers miss this, and they stay locked up trying to make their cell as manageable as possible. They say, well, I'm already messed up anyway. I'm already been defeated anyway. I'm locked up anyway. So since I'm going to be a victim and not victorious anyway, I might as well make the best of this cell that I can. Now, you know God ain't called you to stay in no cell like that. You weren't called to do that. You were called to have a comfort. You weren't called to even have a comfortable cell. And he said, it was for freedom that I set you free. Freedom is to be released from illegitimate bondage so that you can become what you were created to be. In other words, the thing that has you in bondage right now has no right over you. If you're frustrated and defeated, it's because you have been lied to. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and you have been believing him for so long that you don't believe that there is an escape in here. Jesus said that your escape has already been posted. I've already posted bail. I've already set you free. I've already paid the price. If you want to experience which you already have, he says, serve one another. Get outside of yourself. You ever notice how, I'm not talking about the world, like I'm talking about people right in church, how selfish they become. And the further and further, as time goes on, the further and further they get away from Christ, the further and further, and the worst things are going to get. He is letting us know that the freedom that you have already been given to you. We've gotten so used to Jesus. We've gotten so used to God. We've gotten so used to church. We've gotten so used to church activities that we have missed what God is after. And God is after an experience with him. This morning, I lift up the praise team because we had experience through praise and worship, an experience with Jesus, an experience with him. It's not like we came in here and we sat down. If you came in here and sat down, buried in your frustrated, buried in your problems, deep down in your, buried in your own situations, praise team, sing the heart. They already created the atmosphere for praise and worship. They created the atmosphere for God to come down and bless you and let you know that you are free from all that mess that you're frustrated about. If you sit there and miss out on that and not serving God in your praise and worship, you know you leave out here worse off than where you came in, not knowing that you've already been set free from that mess. But I thank God that from looking around and hearing and experiencing that we all been set free this morning. Let me tell you a little secret. If you are serving, you're free, even if you don't feel free right now. Even if it doesn't look like you're free right now. You can now spend your time thanking God for your freedom while serving to discover how free you really are. And the more jail you are in, the harder you should serve. The more bondage that you feel and handcuffed to situations that you feel, the more serving that you should do. Because it will take you out and release you from jail, the jail that you think you're in. Question is, what is this ministry of service? To become a servant, you got to be humble. You can't be Mr. Big Stuff, who do you think you are? Because Mr. Big Stuff, he wants to be served. To serve, that is what I have been called to. That is, when you have been called to, that is, what this body has been called to, we have been called to serve in love. This is not serving with an attitude. This is serving with the well-being of the others in mind. Then the church becomes so dynamic, such a dynamic force, this great transformation that we'll be experiencing. It says in John 13, Jesus has a meal with his disciples in the upper room, and he is getting ready to go to the cross. And in John 13, in verse 1, he says, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father. having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. In verse 2, during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God. Verse 4, got up from supper, laid aside his garment, taking a towel he was girded in, and in verse 5, then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Jesus becomes a servant, and he is their master. Verse 6, Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Verse 7, Jesus answered and said to him, what I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Verse 4, Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Verse 9, Peter said, well, give me a bath. Peter said, Lord, then not only wash my feet, but I want my hands washed, I want my head washed. You just wash me, just give me a total bath. He is saying, because I want to be close, bathe me. Verse 10, if you already had a bath, you don't need to bathe. You just need your feet to be washed. Verse 11, for he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. What am I going to do? Let me see. I'm going to get the rest of this on my computer. I think I'm going a little bit more with this. Hello, 11. Let's go to 12. It says, I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Verse 13. Well, where am I? Oh, John. Oh, Lord, I'm in the wrong book. John. That's right. Oh, that's right. You got it up there. I'm great. This is what? Yes, American Standard Version. So he had washed their feet and taken his garment and sat down again. He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Verse 13. Ye call me teacher and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. 14. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. In other words, if you do these things, you are blessed. In biblical days, we have to understand, you know, they wore sandals. They didn't have shoes and Nike sneakers and all like we did. And see, they didn't have paved highways like we do now. They didn't have sidewalks to walk off of the side of the road like we have. See, the roads were dusty, they were dirty, and even though it looked like, even though you showered before you left, by the time you go to the house for dinner, you walked on that dirty road, so you're dirty again, but your feet are dirty. So they walked into someone's house for dinner, and there would be a servant there. And the servant, they would be standing there with a towel to wash your feet, not to bathe you. You have already bathed, but you had to walk on that dirty road, so your feet were, they get very dirty. So the servant would be there to wash your feet and to welcome you into the house. If you and I ever thought we would have been washed, if we ever knew that we were washed with the blood, But we live in a dirty world. And we would know that it is, we know what it is to get dirty. Even though we have been cleansed by the blood, we have dirty feet because you're walking in this dirty world. And he says, the thing that you should do that I am illustrating for you is that you are to wash one another's feet. In other words, what he is saying, he said, help your brother. Help one another stay clean. Strengthen one another. And Jesus says, if I can do it, and I'm your master, he says, and I'm your Lord, if I can do it, you have no excuse. All he is saying to us today, saints of God, he says, let us continue to be servants of the true and living God, that we may remain free. See, he has already set us free. He has already posted bail. He has already paid the price for you to be free. Don't stop serving God and doing what you are called to do as a child of God to get back in bondage, because he has called. He wants us to remain free. And I tell you, we were, it can come kind of tough sometimes to serve. Because my wife, in prayer time one morning, I think last week, said something about, Lord, lead our footsteps that we may serve somebody today. And Lord, that day started. See, it was a day that we had set aside for us. It was on a Wednesday. And Wednesday, that's the day that we had set aside to go out to Bruffers and just to go out to maybe, well, normally she wanted to go to a store or something, just to be with one another for that for a few hours that day. But from sunrise to sunset, it seemed like every time the phone rang, everything we did was to service. We served and we served. We got back home so tired. And I think we still had to serve someone that night. And so when we got back home, God served us with some sleep. But I'm telling you, but it was, even though it was tiring, it was rewarding. God blessed us in so many ways that you have to stop to think about it. The next day, he blessed us in so many ways, blessed us with health, blessed us with strength, blessed us with the idea, with the mind to serve and do what we were called to do. But I'm telling you, it's not going to be a bed of roses all the time. If God called you to serve and you have, and believe me, if you ask him, you better be ready. Because he sure going to drop the load on you. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And it's because of what the Lord is doing with us as a body. And because of the time and what he has planned for us. He wants that servanthood to be just a part of you just because you're called to his name. He's called by his name. He's adopted you into his family. We are the family of God. We are more family here than sometimes our natural bloodline families are. And we depend on one another. We need one another. And any of us need help, we should be whoever there to serve. If God says, okay, help them serve this one this way, serve that one in that situation, we have to volunteer. We just have to do it. But I like this congregation because when somebody needs help, we don't even have to think about it. You just automatically help. And that's the way that's what God calls us to do. So, you know, we're just a blessed, three times, a blessed congregation. And I thank God for each and every one of you. Heavenly Father, right now.